Greetings, my brothers and sisters, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Today we will continue on our thought about prayer for the daily devotion. We're looking at a scripture in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." There must have been something very special about this man's prayer life. Something we can take from this request is they are godly men looking for a deeper walk with God. As we mentioned yesterday, these were praying men, but they wanted to have a deeper prayer life, and they're asking the Lord, how do we go about this? When we look at the life of Jesus, we can understand a little bit more about his prayer life. And really, in understanding his prayers, we can also understand more about him, who he is, and his relationship with the Father. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, and verse 51 and 52, we read this: "And as he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." There is not a lot we know about the child Jesus Christ, but there are some things we do understand. He was the Son of the living God, but he was born as a baby. He was the begotten Son of God. He had to learn. He had to grow. When he was a little child, he had to have his diapers changed. There was a day that he had to learn to walk. His mother would breastfeed him for a season. And when we look at that, we have to understand this also. There was a first time that he started to pray. As his mother started to bring him up, and there was something in this child. And the first time he prayed, oh my, what a picture that must have been. This little child crying out to the Heavenly Father, and there is no fallen nature to limit his access into the spirit realm. It must have been something glorious. As we come a little bit farther in his life, we come to the hour when he is going to go to the baptism in the River Jordan. In the book of Luke, chapter 3 and verse 21, it picks up this story. It says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." In the book of Luke, it is the only gospel that records Jesus praying at his baptism. I have thought this before. I would love to know what he said in that prayer, what it sounded like as he lifted up his heart and his voice unto God. And the scripture declares the Spirit of God came upon him and anointed him at that hour of time. It must have been glorious. And no doubt that there are people there witnessing this and the impact it must have had upon their life as they watch this man come up out of the water and the Spirit of God come down while he's praying and giving glory and honor unto God. He would go into the wilderness where he would be tempted and tried. And then as he came out of the wilderness, he would begin his ministry. His disciples would watch him in this ministry, and the way that he conducted himself in his prayer life no doubt stood out to them. Part of the reason that they would ask him, "Lord, would you teach us too to pray, really to pray even as you pray?" In Luke chapter 5 and verse 15, it says this: "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." I saw read another translation, and it said Luke 5:16 in this manner: "But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray." So we can see this. He was a very busy man. There was many people coming to hear him preach. There are many people coming for him to pray for them. But the disciples would recognize this. No doubt they told this story to Luke, that many times when there had a little break in all that is going on, Jesus would slip away all by himself, that he can have some time between him and the Father to pray, to communicate with the Lord. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, it says this, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Jesus's life would be in great demand. People coming with their needs and their desires to hear from him and to have him touch them. But he understood that there was a tremendous responsibility to him to have that private time alone with God, that time where he could commune with his Father and his Father could commune with him. I read a couple statements by Martin Luther that it really stood out to me. One was this, he said, "The less I pray, the harder it gets. The more I pray, the better it goes. If I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day." Now, Jesus Christ, he understood this principle, that even though he would have a busy day and no doubt he needed some rest because he would grow weary through the day, he knew that he would be in a tremendous spiritual battle, not only with the Pharisees and the scribes and the critics of that hour, but truly with spiritual wickedness in high places, spirits swirling around him, trying to create havoc in what God was trying to do in his life. So he understood that in the battles that he would face, he would need the strength that he would gain in rising up early to pray. Martin Luther also made this statement, "I have so much to do today that I'm going to need to spend 3 hours in prayer in order to be able to get it all done." My, what a man that must have been, and what a man it truly was, how God could use him in that dark hour of time and his understanding of the need for prayer. No doubt he found this understanding as he looked at the life of our Master, because Jesus exemplified that. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, it says this, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." So sometimes we see him rising up early in the morning. Other times we see him going out after a long day, maybe spending half the night. Other times spending all night in prayer to God. And I think 13 is very important. "And it was day, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles." This is very important. What is he doing throughout the night? As we spoke, prayer is more than just petitions and supplications and requests being made known to God. Thanksgiving, it is communing with God. It is listening to the Father, giving him an opportunity to speak to us. What Jesus is doing this night, and I believe the scripture is written this way, he is finding the Father's will and the decision that will be made in the next day. All night, why all night? Because this is a serious decision. He is going to choose these men. And he said one time, he said, "I have chosen these 12, and one of them is a devil." Well, Jesus chose the 12, but we can ask ourselves this question, whose choice was it really? I believe this, in that night of prayer, as he spent the night communing with the Father revealed unto him who the men were that would be his 12 apostles. Remember, there were many men with Jesus at this time following him, but the Father knew who to appoint and who that would carry on till the end, and he even knew the one that would be ordained to lead him to destruction. Jesus says this in John chapter 5 and verse 19. "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also do the Son likewise." Jesus, when he's talking, he says, "I don't do anything unless I see it of my Father." He tells us that the doctrine is not his. It's not his will. It's not his works. He tells us about angels ascending and descending. What we come to understand that in these secret times of prayer, Jesus is getting this information that he will need in the days ahead as he communes with the people and really brings forth the mind and the heart of God. In John chapter 11, and we can start and read in verse 21. Jesus has come to the grave of Lazarus, and Mary comes out to him, and she starts to talk to him in verse 21. And then it says this, "Then said Martha," or I mean Martha came out, not Mary. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She understood that Jesus was a special man, that there was a great anointing on him. She had seen him, no doubt, heal many sick people. And she had this understanding that if he would have been there, he could have prayed for Lazarus and Lazarus would not have died. But then this is very important right now, what she says next. And she really had an understanding who this man, Christ Jesus, was. She says this, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. See, she's not looking at Jesus as God the Father and just you speak a word. She understands about Jesus' prayer life. She understands that Jesus is submitted to the Heavenly Father, but that he has an authority invested in him that he could ask God to raise her brother, and that as he asked of God, God will give it thee. See, she had an insight into the prayer life of this man, Jesus Christ. I think this, many people today will claim to have this kind of anointing upon their life, and they will declare things, and they'll speak it, and thus saith the Lord, it will come to pass. But many times it does not come to pass. I will say this about Jesus, and this is what Martha understood. You're not hit and miss. When you pray, I will see a result from this prayer. She understood that there was an authority that he had been given, and that in his prayers there was power. In verse 40, Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? See, his Jesus' desire was to manifest the Father and to bring glory to God. And he's telling her, if you can only believe what you've already said, you will see the glory of God, because God will be glorified. He will be made known as Lazarus raises from the dead. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, here he is, he's going to pray. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew, I like this, I knew it wasn't a chance. No doubt Jesus had seen this in a vision in his prayer life, in something like this, a dream. He had seen what God was going to do in this hour of time. Many times we read about Brother Branham, and that's how he saw it. He would see it, and once he saw it, he did not have to just pray not knowing what God would do, but there is an assurance and a word that can be spoken. Jesus says this, I knew that thou hearest me always, and because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. So what it is that they can understand by listening to him pray and seeing the results of his prayer, that God had sent Jesus Christ. This power and this authority that had been invested in him truly was glorious. There is another scripture in Matthew chapter 8 in verse 5 where we see a man, a centurion, that he too has an understanding about who this man Jesus Christ is and his ability to pray and touch the throne of God. In Matthew chapter 8 in verse 5 it says this, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He has seen and he's heard these testimonies that Jesus has this power, this authority in him, that when he prays, when he beseeches the Heavenly Father, God would move on his behalf. And he makes this statement, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And what is faith? It is a revelation. It is an understanding. What this centurion understood is that there was an authority invested in him, and that he had soldiers underneath him. He could speak a word, and because of the authority invested in him, the soldiers would obey. It was more than just what he said, but it was the authority invested in him that carried the weight. In the Jewish New Testament, instead of using this term, "For I am a man under authority," it says it this way: "I too am a man under authority." Brings a little bit more out to the picture, because what he's telling Jesus is, not only am I a man under authority, but you too are a man under authority. In other words, there is someone behind you that has this authority, and that person, and that one, really, it's what it is, it's God. God has the ability to bring to pass what you pray for. In the Lambs of Translation, he says it this way: "I am also a man under authority." And then we can find this even clearer in the book of Luke, chapter 7 and verse 8. The centurion says this: "For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and unto another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." It's a beautiful picture of a man understanding the power, not only the power in prayer, but the power in prayer in this man, Jesus Christ. What was it about this man that was so different? That's what the question is to these people. What is it about this man that is so different that he prays, he speaks, he teaches with an authority that the scribes and the Pharisees do not have? This is what I believe the disciples are watching. They are watching this man's prayer life when he goes off in secret. And they see, as he comes out of the prayer in secret, that now when he is praying in public, there is a tremendous power and demonstration of the power and the goodness and glory of God. When I read this, I think the key is this: the secret time in prayer was the key to the powerful time in the ministry of Jesus Christ. I believe that many men have come to this understanding that the ministry is much deeper than to stand on a pulpit and declare a message. It is found in the secret place with God. It is time when we spend alone with God, as we communicate with him, as we pour our heart out to him, as we listen for his voice, as we open up the scriptures and he opens it up to us, as we spend time in praise and worship and just that secret time with him, that time where he spoke about going into our closet, and the Father that hears us in our closet will reward us openly. This is what he's doing with Jesus Christ, what he has prayed in the wilderness, in the solitary places, as he drew away from the crowds. Now, as he comes forth, he comes out with an anointing, an unction, a power in his prayer that it will demonstrate to the people the glory of God. Well, I don't want to take too long this morning, but there's more about this. When we look at Jesus in the garden, we will see his prayer in the garden and what it tells us about this man, Christ Jesus. We will also look at Jesus on the cross, even as he prays upon the cross, and then as he ascends into heaven to be the great high priest, the prayer life there. So may the Lord bless you all. I pray that God would hear our prayers, that he would give us that anointing, that unction of his Spirit. Lord, I need more of you. May God bless you and give you a good day, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.